Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, getting down to business.
For ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
Blue checkmark ass fucks.
You gotta go down the hole.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Nikola Tesla is my boy.
But we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
What's up, rabbit holers? We're on episode 33 of DTRH. What a number for all you Freemasons out there. We got Richard Willett. He was great. We talked about all kinds of crazy shit. Everything from the media being straight propaganda to Anunnaki interfering in our DNA. So
biblical technology, stargates, you name it, man. We got into it. It was a great time. It was fascinating.
It's a fun one. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor and get right into it. Down the Rabbit Hole podcast is brought to you by Jimmy K's Bar and Grill, located in New Brighton, PA, for all my local listeners. If you're out of town and ever in the Pittsburgh area, head on down. It's a great place.
Good food, good drinks, great company. Come interact with us. We love meeting you guys. We love talking conspiracies. Come to Jimmy K's.
We're down there several times a week, usually before and after each episode. So if you're ever feeling like talking conspiracies, head on down to Jimmy K's Bar and Grill.
We'll buy you a drink, maybe.
Maybe. Today we are going international in the rabbit hole. We are going down it with Richard Willett. He is a documentary filmmaker in the United Kingdom. He has a podcast called Glitch in the Code. He just came out with a new film called War of the Words. I'm excited to talk to him about that for the first part of the day, and then we're going to maybe get into some more strange stuff. But Richard, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good, good. Trying to survive this plandemic here.
Madness, isn't it? Absolute mental.
Right. So our first question to our guests is always, what sent you down the rabbit hole? What pulled you into alternative media and like conspiracies and stuff?
You know, it's a really weird, I've had this question obviously here and there, and I'm not one of the ones who kind of went, oh, 9/11 did it for me. And
right.
And I work with David Icke quite a lot. Every week I work with him weekly now. I think I was born in the rabbit hole and then I realized I was in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. It does, for sure. Some people were just more innately aware to the bullshit going on.
Yeah, it was that kind of way. So it wasn't as if I wasn't ever aware of it. I always knew the world was mental, and then I realised why it was mental, if that makes sense. So I was a very ill child. I was in hospital a lot as a kid, lots of big operations and stuff. So I was always on the outside looking in at school and stuff. So I always thought, this is mad. I thought, this is absolute mad.
Yeah, the medical system has a lot of faults in it. Big pharma's pushing petrochemical pills and jabbing kids 72 times before they graduate high school. It's just the way they take on health is mad. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, and that was from a point of being a sick kid looking in going, this is mental. What is going on here? Why am I letting these people, strangers, I don't know, operate on me? I had no idea what's going on. But it was also, yeah, it was also that kind of being able to sit back and watch. And you become, I think, as a child, when you're ill, and also quite a violent sort of household, I suppose, I was brought up in, you become acutely aware of your surroundings. So I became acutely aware of what everybody was doing, saying, feeling, and very, very aware of how people were communicating. And I became aware of, I can't swear on here, of nonsense, when people were talking nonsense.
Feel free to say whatever you
aware.
Want.
Okay, bullshit. It will wait you out, bullshit.
Free speech. Over.
And so that was kind of, I always was aware that the world was mental. And but it wasn't until I got older I understood the actual agenda, and it was a planned it was planned this way, to be this way.
So speaking of the world being mental and some of the shortcomings of Big Pharma, I know what the jab is doing over here in the States. How is it affecting you guys over there in the UK? Are you seeing a lot of negative side effects and maybe even like media censorship of it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the media censorship is everywhere. I mean, it was absurd, darkly absurd over here. Obviously, we've got the NHS over here. So what they've used is, I think we all pay our national insurance. We all pay national insurance in each year. So our NHS, it isn't free, our healthcare. We pay for our healthcare. We pay into a pot. And the NHS originally was a fantastic concept, absolutely amazing concept. And it is a brilliant thing to have in this country, absolutely amazing. And I think every country should have a national health service. But gradually we've realised that it's become a corporation. It's no longer it's a money-making thing now. And it has been probably for about 30 years taken over. It's a corporation, part of the global corporation. So what they've done over here is they've used it as a kind of a guilt trip tool. So there's save your NHS, do this for your NHS, don't burden your NHS. And I've done that for the last, obviously, year and a bit now here, and it's been absolutely absurd. It's been 1984 type adverts on the telly about not hugging your nan, don't kill your nan. I mean, I've even used those words. And it's been disgusting, quite frankly. My partner, she works in the NHS, she's a dental nurse, and they're not forcing her to have the vaccine because she would tell them to stick up her ass. Well, that's probably a good place to put it. but they are pressurizing staff to have it. They're pressurizing everybody to have it in this country, even children. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting that children are even wearing masks. They're being pressurized to have a vaccine for something that doesn't even touch the sides of them. Mm-hmm. If you even believe this thing exists. So, they've used it as a guilt trip thing. It's that they know that the British people are proud of their NHS, and they're using it as if you don't get the vaccine, you're putting the NHS under pressure and it's your fault. I think the hub of what's coming here is coming from the City of London. The hub of this cult is based in Greenland, Finland, and the City of London. It's a cult, and they're using the NHS as a guilt trip. It's disgusting.
So, what are some of the ways that the NHS and the media are incentivizing people to get this jab? Because they're doing a lot of stuff like that over here in the States.
Yeah. Where Dunkin' Donuts will give you a
free
donut.
Or they'll give
you
a piece of pizza or something like that. And they think, well, these Americans, you know, these people are so stupid. They'll bite, you know.
I know. It's absurd, isn't it, that they have so little regard for people. They think if they give you a donut, that you'll take an experimental vaccine. But people
The sad thing is that
that's
it's worked.
The disturbing thing.
Yeah. And people are getting their vaccine cards tattooed on their arms. Like, those are the people that are so brainwashed. There's no hope anyway. At least
absolutely,
for them.
They're getting them tattooed on should get them on their foreheads. I didn't realize that.
Sometimes the cattle brand itself. I mean,
yeah.
That's all it is. Well, your new film, War of the Words, goes into that a lot. It's all about how the media is just propagandized to the full extent nowadays. And you have great people on that film, like James Corbett, Charlie Robinson, the Ikes, John Brisson, like just a lot in the alternative media world, at least. Those are huge names. We've had a couple on our show ourselves, and I think you did a really good job on explaining how the media is just controlled and pushing an agenda. It's not true. It's not the truth.
Yeah, thank you. That's very kind of you. I do really appreciate that. Hopefully the film's going to get out on band.video as well, Alex Jones' website, so then it will get seen by a lot more people.
Right.
Obviously, Iconic's still in its infancy, so it's still growing.
Yeah.
The people, I was very lucky. I mean, I've been doing this for a fair while, so I reached out to a lot of people, and these are the guys that kind of come back to me. A lot more did, but obviously these are the ones that had the time to send me in their content. Obviously, it had to be done. We couldn't send crews out there like we'd like to have done and done the film on a lot bigger budget. But we've made the best of it, and the stories holds together and the information holds together, which is important. But yeah, it shows you how the mainstream media, this would not happen if it wasn't mainstream media. I see the mainstream media like the Levites, like the guys that told the fictional tales of the biblical stories that basically because no one else could read in those days. Back in the Middle East, the Levites would just basically tell the people who are building their world for them what they wanted them to know.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening.
How
now.
Would they know any better?
Like the Levites, they're the forked tongue of the beast. And without the mainstream media now, none of this would be that none of this would have worked. Absolutely none of this worked. And that's how utterly disgusted I am with the mainstream media. I mean, it's all very well for this cult to be sitting there lying and coming up with these things. And this is thousands, hundreds, if not thousands of years old, at least back to the 1700s.
Absolutely.
But probably way, way back, thousands of years to Mesopotamia, if you want to really look into it. But without the mainstream media being like the Levites, telling the stories, lying to your face, and it's so blatant now, it's so ridiculous now. This wouldn't be possible, and they've got blood on their hands, these guys. And what will happen is when this starts to fall apart, and it is, they're starting to chuck people under the bus now. And these guys, the mainstream media is dead. It's completely dead. But what's happened is the mainstream media is being kept alive by social media now.
Right.
And they're feeding off the back of social media. So the social media companies have basically become the mainstream media companies, and they basically promote what's on the mainstream media. The mainstream media in itself, it didn't have social media, no one would bother watching it anymore, especially here in the UK. It's complete nonsense. So they've got blood on their hands, and that's why we do what we do, and I'm sure that's why you guys do what you do, because without our voice, and we've made a huge difference, we've really slowed this up and messed out for them, this would have been a lot worse, a lot quicker, and it's bad enough already. So I'm sure you guys feel the same. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And obviously you're trying to share your stuff on those social media platforms. So we're kind of cornered in, but the truth will always win out. And if we carry on, keep on telling the truth, keep on supporting each other. And that was part of what the film was about, is to help people, to get people together, to chat together on the same film, and also get to know each other. And if we can use something like Alex Jones' platform,
right,
and Iconic,
yeah,
to help people like yourself, or help people that haven't like an Amy. Amy says, "What's well, yeah, she's brilliant."
Yeah,
she's
we've had her new on too. She was great.
She's awesome.
She's amazing. I love her to bits, and she's fairly new, so to give other people kind of like open the door for them to get some sort of audience across and get known and get to meet people like David and Gareth and Jamie, who've been doing this a long time. I've been very fortunate to meet these guys just in my life, and to be friends with them. So I feel like I'm a good way of getting other people to help other people open that door for them as well, because that's why I see my role. I'm not going to ever be the guy presenting on camera. I'm not the guy who wants to be a TV presenter or wants to be out in front, or I like making stuff, and I like kind of getting people together to make stuff. So I see that as my role, is introducing each other to is Amy, is David, is Gareth, and can we do something together? Can we work together? Can we keep this information going? Because I've got a little boy, he's 10 months old now, and this world is mad. So imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Right, you got to do what you can to protect the future for your future generations. But the media just is constantly pushing fear onto the public, whether it's COVID and the vaccine, or race wars, shortages, climate change, terrorism, the list goes on and on. What's the purpose of it? Obviously it's for control, but what do you think? There's a depopulation agenda going on here where they're trying to corral everyone and I don't know, like what's the purpose of it all?
Yeah, absolutely, there's a depopulation agenda. I mean, you look at the Georgia Guidestones. All you have to look at is someone like Bill Gates, although they're chucking him under the bus now. He served his purpose. Bill Gates was obviously, his dad was head of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a eugenics cult, always was from the day one. It was a deeply racist cult as well. His dad was the head of that. And so you know there's an eugenics. He even openly talks about it, because he's going to reword it another way and satanically invert it to say that basically I'm trying to help the world by not having as many people on the world. Well, actually, you don't get to decide that, young man. That's God's hands, or whoever you believe. You don't get to decide how many people are born into the place. It's not the way it works.
Right.
It's not the way it works at all. And there's plenty of room for everyone. Don't talk shit. It's ridiculous. It's a massive planet. There's plenty to go around if you and your mates weren't hoarding everything. That's the problem here. Of course, there's a dehumanization, there's depopulization, there's a transhumanist agenda. That's massively part of, I believe, the vaccines. That's definitely part of the transgender agenda. And I'm not talking about transgender people, genuinely. Transgender people, I think, is confusing, and fusing gender is different from transgender, and completely different. It's there's no way that 5-6 year olds need to be questioning their gender. Absolutely not.
Right, and getting hormones injected into them before they can really make logical decisions.
Or even chemically castrating them.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's
disturbing.
It's disturbing, and it's a cult, and that's what people don't seem to realize. They can't grasp their head around. It's a cult. So part of my kind of purpose and mission, if you want to call it that, is to show that this is a cult at the very core of it. It's a corporate. It's a global corporation. So you don't have governments. You have one global corporation. Behind that global corporation, the ethos behind that corporation is a cult, and it's a satanic cult at its core that goes all the way back to Mesopotamia and Babylon and ancient Rome. Mm-hmm. It's a satanic god, sun god worshiping, or Satan, because the sun god worship is actually hiding satanic worship behind it. It's a cult. It goes back thousands of years, and that's what's behind this global corporation, which you're seeing at the moment is why each country tends to do the same thing. The World Health Organization obviously is part of the corporation.
Right.
I mean, their symbol is a snake with a bloody target around it. It's or a waveform, depending which way you want to look at it. It's a cult. It's a satanic cult. And that's why I want people to realize that these people and these decisions are being made by a cult. And if you can get that into the public lexicon, great word, they can, people can start to see, oh, okay, I've got a mask on. That makes sense. If it's a cult, they want me to have an experimental vaccine that doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't actually stop me getting it. It just mildly possibly stops me getting stronger symptoms, and that's it. Okay, how is that going to help me? Oh, well, it's not really going to help you at all. Oh, okay. So asymptomatic spreading is real, or is it not real? Depending on which day of the week. It's a cult. And another great way of looking at it is Biderman's Chart of Coercion, which is a fantastic tool to see how you've been indoctrinated into a cult. It's a list of how people were abused in prisoner war camps, and they just work down that tick list. So yeah, it's a massive cult, guys, and I think you guys know that. I think that's the real message I push out to people, is that you're looking at a satanic cult here, and we need to drive that home.
Just real quick before we expand on that, you said it's all worshiping a sun god is Satan. I've heard, what about Saturn? Isn't Saturn's black cube? Isn't that also a...
Yeah, what it is, this is where it gets a bit confusing, and, and I'm not saying I'm not the be-all and end-all knowledge of this. my understanding is that it's sun god worship. Actually, these sun gods, when you look behind where they actually originate from, are actually gods of, like, Saturn, old characters from Saturn, like Kronos,
right.
Father Time, Santa Claus is Kronos as well. Death is Kronos, which is another name for Saturn, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's all about the stars, but it does actually, the sun god worship that they pretend, like Isis and Ra, and that actually behind those are actually Saturn worship. It's not sun god worship. David Icke's book, Children of the Matrix, is a really good one to read for that, and explains how they kind of put the sun god worship on top of what is actually Saturn worship. So, and then obviously you have the religions on top of that do these are kind of ancient rituals, a little bit like when they go around I can never remember what it was, in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, and they go around the big obelisk,
right.
The square, the big... That's Saturn's rings going around that, and obviously the black cube is Saturn.
Of course,
cube is Saturn, and you can draw the Star of David around that as well. Was it the Star of David? Yeah, and the hexagon, I think it's pentagon. But they all these signs and symbols and shapes, they all kind of reach back to ancient Saturn worship, but it seems to be hidden behind sun god worship, and which is where it gets confused. But you're talking about thousands of years of burying information over the top, so you're trying to scratch away, a little bit like an archaeologist, at the actual true nature of this information. But there's other people that think that before 1700 this is all just nonsense
right, I've heard that too,
like that. So
I can give that a little credence. Maybe back to like 1500 and on has been more or less real, but before the printing press, and they could actually add a lot of time and we wouldn't. No, there's a lot of evidence.
Absolutely,
that.
Yeah. absolutely, and I completely agree with you. These are things that I mean, I'm like you guys, I'm just a guy that reads these things, takes it in, and takes what I believe and what I don't believe.
Yeah, can't put all your eggs in one basket.
Firmly grasped onto any of it. I know that a lot happened in the late 1700s. You're getting the Jacob Frank, you're getting Adam Weishaupt, and then you're getting Mayor Amschel Rothschild. These three at the late end of the late 1700s joined together, and then what we're seeing now is the kind of what's happened since then with the Sabbatine Frankists, with Zionism, with the project that which is the United States, which obviously is a corporation in itself. So I think a lot happened up before the late 1700s, and I think it probably could all be just nonsense that it's all been changed. We just don't know. And I think what we're seeing now in this last year of this madness is something spooked them and have sped everything up really quickly. Yes. And that's what interests me more than anything now, is what frightened them to speed up, because they're making a hash out of this, and they're not usually like that. They'd take a few hundred years if it need right. to be.
Yeah, so you said something interesting earlier about, you know, this being all being a global cult that's run by these corporations, the billionaires, the bureaucrats. And then you mentioned how that they're using cult indoctrination techniques. I found that really interesting, because with this cult, they do things like show the public what they're going to do before they do it. For instance, the SPARS document, the war game, they war game it. And then you show people that are brainwashed and they still refuse to believe that they're being indoctrinated into a dangerous ideology. And I guess my question is, like, why do they show the public?
Is it a revelation of the method thing?
Yeah, I think there's revelation of the method, and there's predictive programming.
That too.
And but I also believe that, like Gareth said, he explains this really well, it's part of the satanic belief is that if they tell you what you're doing and you're not doing anything about it, this is part of Sabbatean Frankism as well, or Sabbateanism before Sabbatean Frankism, which is the death cult, really. They would have to tell you what they were going to do before they did it. And if you didn't do anything about it, they would take that as your compliance.
Yeah, you're willing to do it.
So they have to tell you that they're going to do this. And it's a little bit like the vampire. The vampire needs to be allowed in.
Yes.
Through the door to be able to take your soul. But you have to invite them in. And that's part of their indoctrination. It's a karmic thing. They believe that if you don't do anything about it and they tell you about it, then it's on you, because, and when they die, they won't get the karma because they should have warned you. And obviously they do it in such a way that you don't understand, or the common person won't understand that you're being warned, which defeats the object. But they're twisted, and these people are mental, quite frankly. So they're not going to do things that really make sense. But in their twisted way, that's why I believe they tell you, they have to tell you as part of the cult's policies, if that's a better word for it. So they have to tell you that what they're going to do, but they'll just tell you in through movies, through films, through the news,
right?
And blatant as day now. But
dude, they just explained everything in the new King Kong and Godzilla movie, like literally everything. They explained it. They went through Hollow Earth. They went through the cabal that runs the world. I mean, just like conspiracy after conspiracy. So like, and that brings me to my next thing, like that's really in your face, along with this, you know, the COVID and the jab is going on, UFO disclosure is like right around the corner, and then climate change is now approaching. It's very obvious that these are going to be the agendas. Why everything all at once, in your opinion?
Well, this is this is what I was saying it before, why, and I that's a big question for me, is what spooked them to go 1, 2, 3, because it's too much, and people will have woken up in the millions. Now, anyone who conspiracy theorist is no longer a derogatory term. Everyone's a conspiracy theorist now.
Right.
I mean, it was a ridiculous term anyway. I mean, a police detective is a conspiracy theorist. He looks at who's conspired to create a crime and make a crime happen, and he finds out who done it. But it was a ridiculous thing anyway. We all know the background of that. I mean, he's done the research, but again, I'm the same as you guys. What has spooked them into doing it? Obviously, the next one, they've done the global virus that has just faded out and become so pantomime now that anyone who believes it, I can no longer talk to. because it's so ludicrous, I really don't know what to say to them anymore.
I know,
so
it's hard when you're anymore. It's hard when your close friends and family are indoctrinated, yep, and you can't do anything about it.
It is, but then you kind of got to like let them do it, and then hopefully the vaccine is only a money-making thing. But again, I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah, I think
it's
far
more nefarious than that. But then obviously now that we've got this, the last one, the last grab for it is the UFO alien invasion, which, yeah, obviously you see Fox and teeing up this whole Fox thing, and oh, NASA's got this. So what, NASA? Do you mean NASA, the one that only months ago you were talking about the Project Paperclip and all the Nazis coming over?
Right.
Well, that NASA.
I want to ask NASA. You,
oh,
about
telling
that
us the truth now, are they? It's mental. So,
but you brought up Operation Paperclip. That's when I think it was like 1,600, probably more, that they didn't tell us about. Nazi scientists and engineers and, yep, other Nazis came over between 1945 and 1960. It probably went on more than that. They let all these people get away with one of the worst atrocities in the world. And do you think that this global corporation is kind of like the Fourth Reich we're in now? Do you think they still are in power in some places?
Yeah, the Nazis never
went away. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, yeah, the Nazis never went away. You're completely right. Jim Marr's book, Fourth Reich, is brilliant. And I would recommend that to anyone. Go and get that book, because that book's brilliant. But yeah, the Nazis never went away. Of course they didn't. And all you need to do is look at people like Bill Gates. It's the same. It's a Jesuit mindset. Mm. It's also a mindset that goes back to the Aryan race and these tall white blondes, and you're talking about the brotherhoods from Greenland, and Amy does some good stuff.
Right,
the
Great
well.
White Brotherhood. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The Great White Brotherhood, and that's all Nazism. It's all the same mentality and the same belief system.
Right. That's
So no, they never went away, and also they didn't just go into NASA. They went into things like Project Monarch and MK Ultra, and all of that is offshoots from the same people, mm-hmm, the same absolute mentalists that were in killing people, maiming children in insane asylums in Canada. We know all this stuff, and it's the same people now. So now suddenly this group of mentalists, that's obviously part of the cult, are going to tell you that now the UFOs are real, and there's possibly going to be, I'm going to tee you up for a fake alien invasion. Okay, all right.
Blue
they
right.
experimented with that with War of the Worlds radio, the radio program, where everybody apparently went to the hills and panicked, although I don't know if that actually happened or not. But
you're talking about the War of the Worlds radio broadcast where people panicked. They thought it was real. It's going to be that, except using projections and the news showing videos and be like, oh my God, they're here, they're coming, you know.
And oh, absolutely. And you're going to see people lose their shit. They lost their shit, literally, from the COVID. They all pulled the toilet rolls out within minutes in England. And I'm sitting there going, fuck me, really? They've literally panicked and bought the toilet rolls out. I mean, how much are you going to shit in the next 6 hours? Really?
Right.
But that's how mental people are. They're completely clueless. So, yeah, and then you're speaking about Project Bluebeam there. Is it Bluebeam? Yeah.
Yes.
Where they're going to project things into the sky, and you probably get something over the Middle East, and there'll be some messiah in different parts of the world. And and they'll be saying they'll get Solomon's Temple up in the Middle East and do all they want to do there.
Do you think
this is a prophecy and nonsense, really?
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, they've already wargamed for a spaceship to land at Jerusalem, if I'm not mistaken.
Have
is
they?
That correct?
I didn't know that, but that makes total sense to me. I mean, it's all part of their second coming and the rapture.
Right.
And the rapture is obviously going to be this upload to people's consciousness to the clouds. And, well, I mean, I don't believe any of that can obviously happen, but it doesn't really matter what I believe. People are going to get an experimental vaccine and shove it in their kids. People are willing to do anything to stop feeling scared and also stop feeling guilty. Guilt and shame can get people to do just as much as fear can. It's the fear of being responsible for someone else's well-being. Well, you're not responsible for someone else's health. Health is not public.
Yes.
Health is private. You have private health. I have my health. You have your health. Of course, if I'm HIV positive, I shouldn't be going around sleeping with people and passing it on. That's completely different. But walking down the street and the fact that you can't in England at the start, they say wanted people to walk 6 meters away from each other. Go fuck yourself. Don't be stupid. Not right. Moron.
Exactly.
It's just, that's mental. But people were doing it here. And that slowly petered out, obviously, and it was only going to last so long. But I still think this, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think this is a beta test, or a beta test,
yeah,
for what they're going to do in 2030. I don't think they even expected to get this far. I think they're just laughing their ass off going, Jesus Christ, we got that far with it.
Well, I think what it all boils down to is that, you know, speaking of the rapture and things like that, we are moving into the age of Aquarius, and it seems like they are in an absolute sprint to fulfill whatever,
yeah,
whatever prophecy they're trying to fulfill. And you're right. Like, it is a giant cult. They're indoctrinating everybody into it, and it would make perfect sense to go along with the prophecy as the new world religion arises and replaces things like Christianity, Islam, etc. Now, do you think there's any validity to that, and that that might be the end game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. And you brought up about moving over to Aquarius. And again, I tried to get this across to people, is whether they whether you believe this stuff or not about the star signs and the ages. I tend to believe there's a lot in it. But even if you don't, it really doesn't matter, because this cult believes it. And if this cult believes it, they're reacting on their own fear. So if they fear that we're all waking up suddenly and their time is running out, they're going to do this. And I think you might have come up, the only logical reason why I think they're sprinting to the finish is what you've just said there, is that they believe that their time is running out because people are waking up too quickly.
It is the Great Awakening. Our frequencies are rising. I don't know if there's some sort of energy that's just goes with the time. People are waking up, and you're either going to fall to the wayside and be cattle for these cult leaders, or you're going to wake up and be your own sovereign individual.
Yeah, and I think people don't know what to do. They don't know what the world is anymore. They're in a no man's land. They really are in a no man's land. They don't know what to do. Most people haven't got a job to go back to. They're moving dates here. Like, if you see, look at Biderman's chart, this is how they view people. They keep you on your toes, keep you in a no man's land, so you don't know what's coming up with people if you're coming or going. And most people are just confused, tired and confused. And as you say, but the problem is that they push too far, and it's like anything, it's a bully. Once you bully someone, you keep bullying and bullying and bullying them, eventually that person will snap. And they've only got so much time to push people, even the man, a common person who still believes the BBC. There is very little scope for them to keep pushing now. So I see them, if they're bright, but they're not, unfortunately, a lot of them, they're conniving, but they're not bright in a sense of reading people, in a sense of knowing when they've gone too far.
Well,
like any psychopath won't know when they've gone too far. And I think they're going to go too far.
Well,
that's a numbers game.
That's interesting. And that's exactly what I was going to jump into. There are way more of us than there are of them. And they do know that if we have some kind of uprising or uniting where we've had enough of it, that they're fucked. So as like maybe some type of security measure, do you think that they have anything in place in order to keep that from happening? Whether it be technology, whether it be controlling of the climate, et cetera?
Yeah, I think with the whole 5G, the 5G grid, the millimeter waves, if they can get that in place, then you're looking at, the fact that they can ring fence a block, I suppose, in the US and a town here. In the UK, they could ring fence it with millimeter wave technology. And if there's any kind of uprising in there, they just turn it up to the point where, like, it's the same technology that they use for crowd dispersing.
Right.
And all they've got to do is whack it up to a certain degree, and your skin feels like you're burning. So once they ring fence you in 5G technology with 5G antennas on every block, then we're fucked.
I mean, well, not
they
to
are
mention,
popping
I tell
up
people
everywhere.
That they don't know.
I mean, well, not to mention, like, they're running beta tests, like mini beta tests within the COVID pandemic, like almost daily. You saw the quote, Russian hackers hold our pipelines ransom. Well, what the fuck is going to keep them from doing that to our utilities whenever Biden sold them out to China? You know, it's like they can starve us out if they choose to. And I think that, like, this is
their right,
move.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a little more than a beta test, in my opinion. Yeah, like
I think they're just trying to get in as much as they can. I really don't know, but I also think that what we need to be careful from is realizing that Biden is part of the cult,
selling
stuff. Like there is no division. There's no countries within this cult. There is no Biden president of what is the Virginia Company, which is a U.S. corporation. Mm-hmm. There is no selling from. There is no Russia versus China versus U.S. Right. There is no. There is a cult, right. And they are all in the cult. These at the very tops of these corporations, which sit above the governments, which are at its core answering to this cult, this same cult. And what we need to realize is that all of these things that they protect, they're just moving puzzle pieces around the same board, but they're all essentially working for the same cult. They might argue amongst themselves, but at the end of the day, they are all pushing this one agenda forward. And I think we need to go, that's one of the main aims for the work I do, is just realizing that Biden is a Jesuit. Trump is a Jesuit.
Yes, I was going to bring
In
that.
England, we have Boris Johnson, who's a Zionist. We have his only opponent is Keir Starmer, who's a Zionist. Zionism comes from the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are obviously one of the bigger banking families, but still far down the pecking order within mm-hmm. this cult. The answer to the Jesuits. The Jesuits answer probably to the Great White Brotherhood through the Vatican. So what we need to realise is that actually they're all funneling and answering to the same people. And this is almost, it is theatre for the masses in large part.
We alternative media people were saying we're spreading the truth and trying to push people down the rabbit hole. At least that's what we try to do, you know. What else can people do to find solutions to this cult bringing it down on us? Like, what else can the average person do?
I think the only thing to do is we need to realize that, okay, the way I look at it is like, this is a book. This is a book of humanity. And I'm just one player within a tiny page, within a chapter, within a section of the book, it's in a massive library, and I'm not going to be here to see the end of this. I realize that my only job here is to keep this information alive for a month, so enough people hear it, so they keep it alive, and just keep this information going, keep the truth going mm-hmm. to the point where they don't get in what they want to get in. But I don't try and look at it anymore as like I'm trying to save the world kind of thing. My point is that I think people need to kind of bring it down, saying, what can you do now to keep this information going, so it's here long enough so this can either be pushed back or stopped. But you've got to also realise that if we are thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years into this story of humanity, mm-hmm. that this is just a tiny bit, and we are playing our part within that little story. So I think the biggest thing right now is to get this information and share it with many people, tell as many people as you can, and let them do what they want to do with it, and then just keep this going, because we're only here for maybe 80 years if we're lucky. Amen. So really got to try and do your little bit now and enjoy your life because this stuff happens, shit happens, but it's not your responsibility to save the world and change the world. But the only thing you really can do is keep this information going, so your kids know about it, they pass it on to their kids, they pass it on to their kids. And the more people, as you say, the numbers are there. So the more people that know about it, the less chance of this any of this actually coming to pass, or most of it falling flat. So put it in perspective, I think.
So, I think that's a perfect way to sum it up. I mean, you need to be a sovereign individual. Take care of you and yours. Spread positivity and enjoy your life. But that's just the most important thing. We're not all going to be the main character of the movie, and we're not all going to save the world. But maybe together, if we all do our part, something good can happen. But you know, with that, I kind of wanted to change gears. I was looking into a lot of your work, watching some of your stuff, listening to some of your podcasts. You talk a lot about artifacts found in the Middle East, and maybe even Project Looking Glass. What role do you think that plays in the events taking place today?
I love that stuff. You know, that stuff fascinates me. How much of it is true, again, and I don't want to be one of these people to come on and say, like, I think all this stuff is true, and because I'm a researcher like you guys are, and I'm a researcher like everybody is, and we're all just researching from researchers to researchers. This is how it works. But I love that Project Looking Glass stuff. I mean, there was a theory that I believe they went into the Middle East in 2003 because I believe they had to get something out of those museums. There was something found there, and I believe it was part of this looking glass technology that if it got into the wrong hands, it wouldn't be very good, quite frankly. There's a thing called a yellow book where you could look into the, I think that's where you could look into the future. Yeah. And then there was a looking glass technology where you could jump into the future. There's another variant of it as well. I forget now. But again, I believe there was something there. They went there. I think the actual wars in the Middle East were not just about taking over. I think they wanted a Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. surely. There were several different strands going on, but there was something they were either looking for or trying to destroy. And I believe it was something to do with the technology, the looking glass type of technology, time travel, or to do with, Stargates.
Yeah.
And I believe Stargates are massive in this. And I believe when you look into the back into the story where Noah's Ark, obviously, or Gilgamesh, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It was in the Caucasus Mountains. I believe there's a Stargate in the Caucasus Mountains. And that's also where this Sabbatean Frankish cult seemed to have come down from, which seemed to be an offshoot of the Anunnaki human hybrids. Mm. I believe there's something going on there that's to do with the creation of humans, which I believe was genetically modified from Homo erectus,
right.
Genetically advanced into what is human today. And I also believe that there's different kind of factions that are fighting here, but there's something in the Middle East they're looking for, and I believe it's the Stargate technology or natural Stargates themselves. And I also believe that a lot of these satanic rituals that were going on in Rome, they could bring about Stargates as well. There's something lifting the veil. Obviously, they're trying to do it in is it Switzerland at the moment, at CERN?
Yes, that's
Hadron Colliders and all sorts, and they've got Shiva, the god of destruction or whatever, and
right in the front gate, and they're trying to find the god particle and look back as far back as the Big Bang. They're like going back in time. I don't know, that it's some funky shit.
So one thing I was curious about before we get too far into these, you know, ancient relics, I want to get into the looking glass thing. If they were in Afghanistan looking for this stuff back in 2003, my first question is, who do you think has it now? Who ended up getting it? And my second question is, does this looking glass technology work almost like a quantum computer that runs through every set of variables possible and gives you the highest percentage outcome so that you can kind of go with that?
I love his sort of stuff because it's kind of open to your imagination,
right.
Isn't it? I believe that they were trying to keep the technology away from being reassembled. So I think it's spread out. I think there's different factions or different factions of the cult, or maybe there are a couple of cults that have got different parts of it. I hope it's not back together, put it that way, if it exists altogether. There's a funny whole thing with the whole Donald Trump as well. The whole Donald Trump project was fascinating for me, not because he became president, not just because of that, because Donald Trump's uncle, I think it was his uncle, that found Tesla's,
stole Tesla's
papers.
Yeah.
From the hotel that Tesla died in. Well, obviously Tesla, I think, had time travel sorted, done. I think even like jump rooms and stuff, Tesla had the technology to do that. So I think that Trump, and also there's that book written when the tales of, I think it's Baron Trump as well, and that was out years ago, and it's something about his dog and time travel, and it's just bizarre how these
underground
things
military
keep popping
bases,
up.
The dog's
same thing in the Simpsons, showing exactly how he'd go down the escalator and all of that. So that I think there's definitely something being messed around in the timelines here, and maybe that's what this whole COVID madness was about. Maybe they cocked up somewhere along the line. Something happened. I don't think it was, we're being told anywhere near the truth.
No.
So I hope it's spread out. And I think they've messed with the timelines. And I think they're trying to fix something, possibly, that they shouldn't have messed around with. And that's why I think it's just such a mess. it's a possibility. I mean, I think a lot of people know more than we do. They drop hints in films. They drop hints in music. I think time travel has been possible for a long time in this timeline. And I think there's separate timelines and there's all possibilities.
Absolutely.
I think we're on the edge of learning a lot.
Yeah, and
But
like,
I also think that we are possibly in a, my mind always comes back to thinking that this is not real.
Yeah,
this
it's
is real
the
anyway.
Simulation theory.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, there more than likely is multiple timelines, and in a lot of there's a lot of evidence showing that you can manifest your own timeline with a lot of the things that the CIA have released and, you know, disclosed. But I guess my question, one question I was curious about is, do you think that there are good factions? Also,
white hats.
White
so
hats.
To speak.
Also, yeah. Not to get too deep into like the Q conspiracy, but do you think there are white hats battling some of these cult factions to kind of piece
I'd
together
like
our
to,
timeline?
Yeah. Sorry, I'd like to think so. I think we're probably them without knowing it.
Yeah,
I think that's what we do.
It's very true.
I just think we just don't know it. I think it's in our nature, probably programmed into our DNA or our bloodline. To do this without really knowing why we have a pull to do this stuff. I try and step away now and again and I get pulled right back in because I have a programmed to want to tell the truth and I don't like liars. I don't like liars. I don't, and that sounds very pompous because we all like it, but I don't like being with people taken advantage of. And, I think it's probably us and we don't know it. And that's why there's probably a good couple of million of us on this planet that think this way, but we're probably the white hats, for want of a better term, without even knowing it.
Yeah,
I think that number's going up every day.
And that's what the Great Awakening is. It's like it's a metaphysical war. If they can convince us that things are horrible and they can manipulate the way that, you know, that we feel on a moment-to-moment basis, then, you know, it takes all the power away from us. So the more people that wake up, the more power we have, and it's just consciousness.
But do you think, like, not to want to ask a question back?
Go
to
for
you,
it, man.
Do you
Go
think?
For
do you think that the reason why, like, some of your friends and your family just don't get it is because they can't get it because they're genetically programmed different to me to us? Because I do look at them and I think you just can't understand. It's almost like I'm speaking a foreign language to you, isn't it? And like this to me is just so obvious. I do genuinely think now that they were genetically programmed different. And that's why very few of us, in contrast to the 7.6 billion people on the planet, or maybe more now, that have actually been programmed to hold this information and get this information. But there are people that just can't get it. And that's no fault of their own. It's just,
I don't
it might
know.
Be conditioning, but I do think there's a genetic element to it as well.
The genetic element's interesting, but what I would think it is, if I had to guess, is that we're operating on different dimensions, even though we coexist on the same plane of existence. I just think that there's people operate on a higher frequency than others, and maybe some people just aren't ready yet, you know? That's just my theory.
I definitely think that some people's brains are built in a way that they can't add any more to it. It doesn't fit their paradigm. People like us might have not had a complete paradigm built, or are just better at breaking down the old one and building up something new, that just more open-minded to different ideas. And the more closed-minded people might be genetically different. It all goes back to genetics. And that brings me to one of my last questions before we wrap up here. When I was growing up, everyone talked about a missing link in evolution, you know, where we went from monkey into man. Do you think that was the insert of these Anunnaki or Archons or whoever it are that genetically modified the Homo erectus on this planet and made that jump to what we are now?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's definitely been some genetic modification. All you need to look at is the signs are there, even in down to looking at Noah's Ark or whatever you want to call it, Gilgamesh Ark, and that was obviously clearly a DNA lab. You're getting DNA from every animal, and that was just obviously symbology of it to me. That was symbolic of getting DNA on a ship of everything. So I believe that they're definitely genetically modified Cro-Magnon man into human. I don't believe that had any effect. I believe that's the body and the brain. Now that allows spirit to come into like, it's almost like having a better computer system, a hard drive a RAM. You allowed the body was more functional for the spirit to come in and perform more things. I mean, before, the same spirit would have come into Homo erectus and only been able to function. So I also believe it's gone the other way. I believe that maybe we were capable of more things at one point and have been genetically pushed back. And I also believe that's what these mRNA vaccines are for.
They're dragging us
down. Degenerating.
Yeah,
it's back engineering humans.
I completely agree.
You're going to get people in 30 years' time that can't think this way. They just don't have the genetically... they're not genetically capable of thinking about these things. They're going to wipe out common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense. The common sense isn't a thinking thing. It's me knowing what you know without us having to explain it to each other. We look at things and just laugh. And we laugh at things that we just think, that's mental. We don't have to tell each other it's mental. We just find it funny. But you find less and less of that now because people can't look at things like you look at things and you go, that's just weird. And I genuinely believe that the whole point of these vaccines are to genetically destruct or deprogram or completely wipe us back into something that is very, very one-dimensional. And I completely believe that we've been genetically modified. But by I say we, I mean our bodies and our computer system, which is our brain. But I think soul-wise, we all go back to the root and we come in. And I believe this is a game. It just means they've genetically modified the spacesuit to be able to function better.
Yes.
But I don't believe it makes any difference to who we are as our soul. It just means we're cognitively available. Where it could have been at one point where we were able to remember past lives.
Yeah.
Imagine how your life would be different now. If you could remember your past 30 lives, you'd act right. completely differently.
Right.
And
you wouldn't
worry
much
about
more
this
wise.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And you would find it funny because you know that you go on. And if you knew that death wasn't the end, and I think this is a big, big thing that people don't get. Mm-hmm. If you know that death wasn't the start or the end of anything, you wouldn't act the way you are now because you have no fear of it. So fear wouldn't work. So if you can genetically modify a being to not remember where it came from or where it's going, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Imagine getting on a plane, waking up on a plane and not remembering how you got on it or knowing where it's going to land. That's life.
That's a great point. It just seems like...
It
just seems like this is the testing ground to see if we're ready to transcend back to, you know, our higher selves or not. Whether we're going to stay here and keep reliving the same timeline over and over again until we're ready to move on or not.
I think the big test for people is when you accept death. And you just go, I'm going to die. I don't want to, but I am. And I was dead once already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Couldn't have been that bad.
Probably dozens of times, if not more.
You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of, is this living anyway? Walking around with a mask on, sticking injections in yourself, or frightened about paying your mortgage? Is that living?
Right.
Living.
Go hug your grandma, people. Jesus.
But go hug your grandma. Go hug your friends. I mean, this is ridiculous. This mm-hmm. is so stupid. And when you die, you're going to regret doing all these stupid things. So I think accepting death is another thing. I technically died 3 times as a kid as I was ill.
Oh, wow.
And I think that gave me a different path. And I remember one of them, clearly. And I've never been afraid of death. I'm afraid of stupid things.
Yeah.
But I'm not afraid of dying. And I think that's what maybe you can bookend it at least one end. But again, I think that we've been, to answer your question, I think yes, I think we've been genetically, our space suits, we're not our bodies. So our space suits are
our flesh
have
sack.
Been have been upgraded completely and downgraded.
Right.
But that does make no difference to the soul. It just means that we're playing this character in this game and we won't do one day. So what are we doing here? We're having great conversations like this. It's great.
Exactly.
We should be able to use our imagination.
I'm glad you didn't die 3 times. Like, you made it through all of them.
Hopefully we make it through this one.
Right. Or else we wouldn't be here spreading this truth. But do you want to tell the people where they can find your work before we ask maybe a last question or two and wrap up?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for taking the time to have me on as well. Yeah, glitchinthecode.co.uk. You'll find all the podcasts on there. I'm on YouTube, Glitch in the Code, still on there just about. And WTAF, WTAF with Gareth Ike. We do a show every 2 weeks where we just look at the most mental things that have happened in that 2 week period and just laugh at them because they are mad. That's quite popular. You can find all my films, War of the Words, Prime for Panic, which I made as the start of this, which I think is a good film to look back on. Because I filmed this at the very start of this stuff, literally as the day it started happening here in the UK and we shut down. That's on iconic.com. I've got all, most of my stuff is on iconic.com now. which is Gareth and Jamie's a new company that we started about 2 years ago. It mm-hmm. launched in November of 2019. And that's a place for all this information to survive, because we need a business model behind it. So that's subscription based. So iconic.com or glitchinthecode.co.uk, and you'll find everything there.
There you go, people. Go check out his work. He does great stuff. I'm signed up for Iconic, and I can't wait to go through there and see all what it has to offer. Richard, thank you so much for giving us this little bit of time.
Yeah, it was great, brother.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
Would love to. But thank you for taking the time to speak to me as well. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it.
We'll be in touch. Don't worry.
Keep up the good work, man.
Cheers, mate. You too as well. Take care.
Well, there you have it, rabbit holers. That was our friend from the UK, Richard Willett. We got into a lot of crazy shit, a bunch of different rabbit holes. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.
All his links are in the show notes. We have one link in the show notes. It's our link tree. If you want to check us out, you can find us there. And that's, I think that'll do it for this one.
Yep. Take it away, Motor.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.